name is Raymond R. Brown. I'll be operating the video equipment for this deposition. My address is 1714 Corcoran Street, Washington, D.C. I'm employed by Ray Brown & Associates and representing Interim Court Reporting. This deposition is being taken pursuant to notice in case number 0277, entitled Universal City Studios Incorporated et al. Versus Corley, before the U.S. District Court, Southern District of New York. The witness today is Mr. Jack Valenti. Today is June 6, 2000. We're at the offices of Proskauer Rose, LLP in Washington, D.C. Time is indicated electronically on the lower portion of the television screen, currently 8:45:30. This time, counsel will identify themselves and indicate which party they represent. The court reporter will then identify herself, and I will administer the oath to the witness.
Good morning. I'm Scott Cooper of Proskauer Rose, LLP, for the plaintiffs and representing Mr. Valenti in this deposition. Mark, you want to identify yourself?
Oh, Mark Litvak, counsel for the Motion Picture Association of America.
Edward Hermstead, Frankfurt Garbus, Klein & Sells, for defendant.
Martin Garbus, Frankfurt Garbus, Klein & Sells, for the defendant. Let me note for the record that this deposition was arranged for the convenience of Mr. Garbus and Mr. Hermstead, and at their express request to commence this morning at 8 a.m. Here in Washington. We've gone to a lot of trouble to accommodate them and be here. We are now starting at 8:45. The court reporter they arranged for just arrived. They themselves didn't arrive until 8:30. I also note for the record that Mr. Valenti is here at considerable personal inconvenience. He is not feeling well this morning and has some kind of bug. He is here to proceed with this deposition, notwithstanding that. My understanding is we're going to go until noon so that Mr. Garbus and Mr. Hermstead can fly back to New York.
Perhaps we can stay for an hour later if Mr. Valenti is up to it.
Well, we understood.
We'll let Mr. Valenti decide that.
We understood you.
May I finish? With respect to this morning, we took a 6:30 flight down, which should have gotten us here in plenty of time. The weather held us up down in LaGuardia, which is why we're half an hour late.
Madam Reporter, could you identify yourself? I'll swear the witness.
Danny Stewart, and I'm reporting.
Mr. Valenti, would you raise your right hand, please?
I beg your pardon?
Would you raise your right hand, please?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. We're on the record, gentlemen.
Mr. Valenti, who are the members of the DVD-CCA?
I don't know.
Do you know who the DVD-CCA is?
No.
Do you know who issues the licenses to the hardware manufacturers that play DVDs?
No.
Do you know who issues the licenses to the replicators that make DVDs from the films that are submitted to them?
No, I do not.
Have you ever met anybody at the DVD CCA?
Not that I'm aware of.
Speculation.
Do you know what that entity is at all?
No, I don't.
Do you know who controls the licenses for DVDs?
No, I don't.
Have you ever been advised by your attorneys who controls the licenses for DVDs?
Objection. Calls for attorney-client communication. Expressly so, I'll note.
You know the name of the defendant in this case?
I'm not sure. I'm just not sure.
Well, what is your best recollection of what's the defendant's name?
2600.
Now, does the name Goldstein mean anything to you?
No.
Does the name Corley mean anything to you?
How do you spell it?
C-O-R-L-E-Y.
No.
Never heard those names before?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does 2600 do?
Well, one thing they do is make T-shirts with my picture on it.
And do you know who makes the hardware for DVDs?
No, I don't.
Have you had any discussion with the hardware makers of DVDs about piracy?
No, not I'm aware of. I'm not aware of any discussions I've had.
Do you know how DECSS works?
Not really.
Do you know when it was first posted on the internet?
I don't recall.
Is there any document that would refresh your recollection?
I'm not aware of any.
Do you know when Mr. Goldstein allegedly, or 2600 allegedly first posted DECSS?
No. Let me just make a point here that I believe should be clear, and that is to the extent that the answer to any of the questions Mr. Garbus asks is known to you only through communications from counsel. You should not provide the substance of those communications in answer to the question.
Can you tell me something about the relationship between the MPAA and the eight plaintiffs in this lawsuit?
I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean, the relationship?
Do you know who the plaintiffs are?
Plaintiffs are member companies of the association.
And does the MPA on their behalf act in anti-piracy matters?
Yes, we do.
And you, for example, how long have you been the head of the MPAA?
34 years.
And during the course of time, you testified before Congress?
Yes.
Approximately how many times?
I haven't any idea.
More or less?
A lot.
More or less than 1,000?
Oh, no, I haven't testified 1,000, but a lot.
300?
I haven't any idea.
And you've also... over those 34 years, met with senators to discuss MPAA matters?
From time to time, yes.
And you have appeared before subcommittees of the Congress to testify about DMCA and other related matters?
Yes.
And you have been on television, both with respect to your role as MPAA president and in your previous life?
Yes.
And can you just tell us for a moment what your previous life consisted of?
It's ambiguous.
Hmm?
It's well, ambiguous.
You know. Well, before I was named chief executive officer of MPA and MPAA, I was special assistant to the President of the United States for 3 years.
And during the course of that time, were you on television?
Yes.
And were you quoted in the press?
More than I chose to be.
And have you been quoted in the press since you've been the head of the MPAA?
A number of times.
When you say a number of times, would you agree with me it's been thousands and thousands of times?
I can't give a number. I haven't any idea. And I hesitate to give you a precise number because I don't know.
And in addition to testifying before Congress, have you spoken before other groups in the last 35 years? University?
Yes.
What kind of groups are those?
Conferences, seminars, colleges, universities, various organizations in broadcasting and cable, etc.
And you do that each year?
And you
do that each year, and you have been doing it each year for most of the 34 years that you've been the head of the MPAA?
Yes.
And again, I presume... could we assume that you speak at least 100 times a year and over 34 years, that's...
No, not that much, no. I don't speak 100 times a year.
Can you give me an
100 times a year would be 9 times a month. I don't do that.
Can you give me your best...
I don't know. I haven't any idea. I can give you a number. I just don't know.
Now... You testified before Congress on the DMCA legislation?
Yes, sir.
And you've issued a number of statements about that legislation?
Yes.
And you've issued a number of statements concerning this particular case?
Probably.
And you've issued a number of statements concerning the Santa Clara case, the DVD-CCA case?
Sim-Sex, not evidence. You mean him?
Yes. You were the MPA, or you on behalf of the MPA?
What was this?
Ambiguous and compound.
I didn't understand the question.
Could you please read it to me again?
You've issued a number of statements. You've issued a number of statements concerning the
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
What is the question?
You've issued a number of statements concerning the
DVD case in Santa Clara. Again.
DVD case in Santa Clara?
Yes.
I don't know anything about it.
You don't know anything about a lawsuit that's been filed in Santa Clara by DVDCCA against individuals who allegedly had DECSS or downloaded DECSS?
Not to my knowledge.
Today's the first time you've heard of a DVDCCA case?
Excluding any conversations with counsel, it would be the same admonition with respect to any of these issues.
Probably, yes.
No, there is only through counsel.
No, counsel. That's not an appropriate question.
Sure it is.
No, it isn't. Now, if you want to go off the record and have a conversation about how to inquire of a witness without intentionally intruding on the attorney-client privilege, I'd be happy to do that.
We'll get a ruling. Now, with respect to a DVD that's been de-encrypted by DECSS, have you ever seen one?
Have I ever seen a DVD encrypted?
De-encrypted by DECSS.
No, I haven't.
Has anyone ever told you that a DVD has been de-encrypted by DECSS?
I don't recall.
Has anyone ever told you that they had ever seen on the internet a DVD de-encrypted by DECSS?
I don't recall.
Do you know whether or not any of the defendants in this case ever de-encrypted a DVD through DECSS?
I'm not aware.
When you say you're not aware, does that mean you don't know?
That's a good synonym.
Okay. Now, when you said before you don't recall, does that also mean you don't know?
Well, I don't recall when... Meaning, I don't recall. I mean, that's a... It's a simple declarative English sentence. I don't recall.
So there's a difference in your mind between I don't recall and I'm not aware.
Is this a
semantic
discussion?
Excuse me. No, I just want to know where we go with respect to the questions.
Well, the answer is I'm fairly informed about the mother tongue, and seems to me I don't recall or I'm not aware. Means I have a vague understanding of it, and I'm not sure.
Thank you. Are there any documents that you could use to refresh your recollection as to whether or not you know if this defendant is whether anyone has ever seen this defendant take a DVD and de-encrypt it through DECSS?
Would you read back the question, please?
Thank you. Are there any documents that you could use to refresh your recollection as to whether or not you know if this defendant is whether anyone has ever seen this defendant take a DVD and de-encrypt it through DECSS?
I'm sorry, because I've got 102 fever and it's affecting my ears. I just did not hear the young
Could you
lady.
Read it back loud, more loudly, please?
Do you want to take a break from the deputy?
No, this is fine. I'm going to do the best I can, and when I find out I can't go anymore, I'll tell you. But right now, I want to continue this. I didn't understand the question. I'm so sorry.
Okay, let me rephrase it again.
Yeah, please do.
Do you have any documents, or have you seen any documents, that could refresh your recollection as to whether or not Goldstein ever de-encrypted a DVD through DECSS?
I'm not aware of any documents.
Have you ever seen any documents which have ever indicated that anyone has made a copy of a DVD through DECSS after getting the DECCS from Goldstein?
I'm not aware of any.
To your knowledge, has anyone at the NPA ever reported to you that any of the Goldstein sites have led to any copies of any DVDs.
Excluding any conversations you had with counsel.
Yeah.
If that happened, it was with my counsel, with my lawyers.
So, do you have any independent recollection now?
No.
Now, have you seen any documents which have indicated to you that anybody has made a copy of DECSS and then used that to de-encrypt a DVD?
I'm not aware of such documents.
Have you ever seen a document which says that anyone used any information from Goldstein's 2600.com to de-encrypt the DVD through DECSS?
I'm not aware.
Have you ever seen any such documents that relate to that?
Not that I'm aware of.
And with respect to Mr. Goldstein or 2600.com's linking and the other sites that they link to, has anyone ever told you that anyone has ever made a copy of a DVD through de-encryption by DECSS as a result of the information they got from the channels, from the websites that were linked to Goldstein?
Would you read back the question, please?
With respect to Mr. Goldstein or 2600.com, linking and the other sites that they link to, has anyone ever told you that anyone has ever made a copy of a DVD through de-encryption through DECSS as a result of the information they got from the channels, from the websites that were linked to Goldstein?
I don't recall.
Now, with respect to a DVD that has been de-encrypted through DECSS, can you fast forward it?
I don't know.
Can you edit such a DVD?
Ambiguous.
Can you edit a DVD that has been deconstructed through DECSS?
Ambiguous.
My answer is I don't know.
Can you edit a DVD that has been de-encrypted through DECSS?
Ambiguous.
I don't know.
Has anyone ever told you that you can edit a DVD through DECSS?
I have no recollection of that.
Do you know what the Linux machine is?
Assumes facts, not in evidence.
I beg your pardon?
I said it assumes facts, not in evidence.
Go ahead, sir.
I've heard of Linux.
And what is it?
I understand it's an open source system that a number of computer users use in their computers.
And when you say a number of computer users, does that relate to personal computers, business computers?
No, I haven't any idea.
And when you say an open source system, what does that mean?
Well, to me, it means free to anybody who wants to use it.
Now, do you know whether or not Linux in 1999 was trying to create a system whereby DVDs could be played on the Linux operating system?
It assumes facts, not in evidence. There is no Linux as an entity, as we've discussed in, I think, every one of the depositions that we've been together in. It also asserts facts inconsistent with the record.
Go ahead, sir.
The answer is I don't know.
Can I hear the question again?
Do you know whether or not Linux in 1999 was trying to create a system whereby DVDs could be played on a Linux operating system? Objection.
Do you know whether or not Linux users were trying to create an operating system that played DVDs on that operating system?
I don't. The answer is I don't know.
Do you know whether or not the person who first published the DECSS code was a Linux user?
I have no idea.
Do you know the purpose for which DECSS was originally created?
All I know is it's a violation of the law.
Is it your understanding that it's a violation of the law if the DECSS was created to create an operating system or to be part of an operating system for Linux users?
SimSpec is not in evidence. It's an incomplete hypothetical.
Go ahead.
Doesn't make any difference. The DMCA is quite clear, great clarity, that anyone who circumvents an encryption is violating the law.
And if anyone is using DECSS, which they get from another source, namely Linux users, to play DVDs, it's your opinion that that's against the law?
The same objections also calls for a legal conclusion.
I believe it is very much against the law.
So that if any system plays a DVD without a license from DVD-CCCA, that, in your estimation, is against the law?
It's ambiguous. It's an incomplete hypothetical. Assumes facts, not in evidence, and it calls for a legal conclusion.
Go ahead.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but I believe it's a violation of the law. The law is very clear and very plain.
And it is very clear. Let me give you, let's assume I buy a DVD, pay a price on it. Then I play it on a piece of hardware or a computer software that doesn't have which company doesn't have a license from DVD-CCA. Is it your view that that's against the law?
This witness is not here to testify as a legal expert. Your questions ask for him to draw legal conclusions on scant information.
Go ahead, sir.
I believe it's against the law.
So your understanding of the law then is that the only people who can play DVDs are those people who play it on licensed software or hardware?
All I do know is that no one can, with impunity, circumvent an encrypted DVD. The law is plain and clear and unambiguous.
And if a Linux user takes DECSS, which he did not get through his own reverse engineering or through any attempt of circumvention on his side, and uses that on a Linux system to play a DVD, it's your view that that's against the law?
Incomplete hypothetical. Seems facts not in evidence, and it's cause
Thank
for
you.
A legal conclusion.
Mr. Vinetti?
I beg your pardon.
Let's have a question.
Could you give me the question again, please?
If a Linux user takes DECSS, which he did not get through his own reverse engineering or through any attempt at circumvention on his side, and uses that on a Linux system to play DVD, it's your view that that's against the law?
Any time that you circumvent an encryption, you're violating the law.
Even if you're using it and you have not done the reverse engineering and you have not done the circumvention?
It assumes facts not in evidence. I think it's internally inconsistent and unintelligible.
Go ahead.
The answer, I go back again. The law doesn't make any such exceptions. The law is clear.
Now, did you testify before Congress on...
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Whether or not the MPAA's position was that Sony v. Betamax...
This is cold water. I can't drink cold
okay.
water. I just
because Would you see if we can get something that's...
Just plain
room temperature.
If they have a plain Evian or something that's not out of the refrigerator, I can't... With my throat right now, I can't drink anything cold.
Do you know what DIVX is? D-I-V-X?
I've heard of it, but I'm not sure.
Now, did you also testify before Congress that the fair use exception was not cut out by the DMCA?
Yes, the concept of fair use is is intact in DMCA.
Tell me how that is.
Calls for a legal conclusion.
Well, I don't know except that the concept is intact.
And what is the concept of fair use as you understand it?
Means that libraries or school teachers can play movies in their classroom for educational purposes.
Do they have to get permission from the DVD-CCA?
No. Calls for a legal conclusion. It's misleading. Seems facts, not in evidence.
Do you intend
to ask about the DVD-CCA?
What?
You intended to ask that question with regard to permission from the DVD-CCA?
From whoever you have to get permission for.
No, I think you
don't
have to.
You have
to get permission from
the
USDA.
No.
What's
okay.
the question?
I apologize. No, I knew what I was saying.
Okay.
Go ahead. Can you read the question back?
Do they have to get permission from the DVD-CCA?
It's misleading, ambiguous, assumes facts, not in evidence.
Go ahead, sir.
You can go to a Blockbuster store and get a DVD player in your classroom. Libraries have DVDs which they check out to people who want to look at them.
Can you fast forward on a DVD?
Yeah, I think you can.
And if you have, let's say, advertisements in the beginning, can you fast forward past those advertisements so you can go straight to the movie?
I'm not aware of DVDs that have advertisements. What do you mean advertisements?
Advertisements for other movies.
Oh, yeah, you can fast forward through that.
And can you edit the DVD so as to take off information to put it on a VCR?
Well, that means you have to decrypt, and that's against the law.
So in other words, there's no way of taking anything off a second, a tenth of a second from the DVD without it being against the law.
Calls for a legal conclusion.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm just saying to you, simply if I can assert it, that any time that you decrypt or try to decrypt a DVD, the DMCA is very clear about that, that you can't do it. It's against the law.
If you use DECSS to defeat regional coding, is that also against the law?
Some facts, not in evidence. It's an incomplete hypothetical.
Well, the answer is any time that you circumvent an encryption for whatever reason, you are breaking the law.
Now, you're the one who testified before Congress, did you not, on the DMCA?
I was one of those, yes. Uh-huh.
And you testified on the effect of Betamax on the DMCA and how it should be interpreted?
Betamax?
Yeah.
Are you referring to the case 17, 19 years ago?
Yes. And haven't you in your testimony before Congress referred to the Sony against Betamax case?
I may have. I'm not aware of it, though. That's in the Mesozoic era. That's almost 20 years ago.
And did you testify within the last 5 years on Betamax before Congress when they were considering the DMCA?
Ambiguous.
I don't recall at all testifying about Betamax.
Do you recall issuing any statements about Betamax?
Ambiguous.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years?
Yeah.
I'm not aware.
Now, Mr. Cooper described you as a lay witness. What do you understand that term to mean?
I'm not a lawyer.
So, in other words, a lay witness is anyone other than a lawyer.
You're asking him to draw a legal conclusion or to speculate about what I meant by the term?
You have called him a lay witness. This is the man who's the head of the MPAA, who for 34 years has been the head of the MPAA, who has testified endless times before various groups about his legal interpretation of the DMCA, and you don't permit him to answer questions about the DMCA. Do you find that surprising?
I'll tell you what. If you want to spend the time in this deposition arguing about issues, I'll be glad to. But let me say that I will describe my meaning in my statements. Why don't you ask the witness percipient testimony on issues that he is here to answer on?
Let's mark his exhibits. First, the October 28, 1999 statement by Jack Valenti to the Subcommittee on Telecommunications, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Committee on Commerce, U.S. House of Representatives. We'll mark as Exhibit 2, and I'll give you copies of this. A letter from Ms. Valenti to Ms. Terry Tang, dated June 30, 1998. And enclosed in that letter is a document entitled Chronology of WIPO Treaty and Implementing Legislation. We'll also enclose as a letter dated March 31, 2000, from Mr. Valenti to David Carson, a lawyer, the general counsel of an organization named in the letter. And then we'll mark as Exhibit 4, a document to which Mr. Valenti is a signatory. Pardon me, to which the Motion Picture Association of America is a signatory. It's as of March 31, 2000, when Mr. Valenti was the head of that organization.
I haven't yet seen the documents, so I can't speak to the characterizations of counsel. I will note for the record that I believe he misspoke with respect to the third document. I think he said something about it being enclosed. I believe what was intended was that the third reference document was to be marked as Exhibit 3 rather than the inference that it was enclosed with Exhibit 2.
I'll let the record speak for itself.
Now, why don't we take a short break, actually?
Mr. Valenti, directing your attention.
We're back on the record. The time is 9:40.
Mr. Valenti, directing your attention to Exhibit Number 24.
This is 23.
And for the record, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think the renumbering of these documents from what you put on the record occurred off the record, so you might want to just note that they've been renumbered in agreement between counsel.
They have now been renumbered, so it's
this is good number 24.
The previous deposition, so 23, 24, 25, and 26, rather than 1, 2, 3, and 4, but I'll identify each document when I refer to it. With respect to Exhibit 24, which is a list of Ms. Tang at the New York Times, do you know who Mr. Attaway is?
Yes. Do you have a copy for me, counsel?
Sure. And who is Mr. Attaway?
He is Senior Vice President and Washington General Counsel of the MPAA.
And I direct your attention, and the letter starts off with, Jack Valenti asked me to send you the attached material relating to implementation of the WIPO treaties. Is that right?
That's what it says here, yes.
And do you recognize the document that is attached?
I never really saw it. I asked Mr. Attaway to send this lady information about the WIPO treaties.
And is that the information you sent, that's the position of the MPAA, is that right?
Well, I haven't read this, so I don't know.
Well, direct your attention to page 7216. If you see
7216.
Right hand corner.
All right.
I saw my good chance, Mr. Cooper.
Section 11. This is a letter.
Right.
Is that the position of the MPAA? And isn't that the position you have testified in Congress was the position of the MPAA?
Lacks foundation, calls for speculation. Take a moment to read it, please.
Well, this was a legal paragraph that Mr. Attaway has sent to this lady, which summarizes the 1984 Supreme Court decision. And it's not MPA policy, I guess that's Supreme Court policy.
It says, will Section 1201 overrule the Supreme Court Betamax decision? And then it says no, and then goes on. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the position you took in testifying before Congress?
You're asking whether he said what's contained
yes.
in those two sentences?
Yes, in substance.
I don't know.
Do you know what you testified in Congress relative to the effect of Betamax on the DMCA?
Assumes facts, not evidence.
I have written about 1,000,000 words.
Does this wreck you?
And I haven't been. And it is impossible to remember specific paragraphs out of 1,000,000 words of testimony and speeches, so the answer is, I don't know.
Does it refresh your recollection in any way as to what the MPA stated position was before the DM, before the Congress when it testified about the DMCA?
You're asking whether this refreshes his recollection
right.
on that?
Right.
I don't know whether this section 11 here was part of my testimony before the DMs.
I didn't ask you that. I said, did this refresh your recollection as to what the MPAA's position was before the Congress when it gave information concerning the effect?
Please let him finish and then give me an opportunity to object.
All right, fine.
The Betamax decision and section and its interrelationship with Section 1201.
You no longer mean to be referring to his testimony. You're talking about any positions asserted by the MPA
yes.
before Congress.
Yes.
Lacks foundation.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, what is it you want to know?
Do you know what the MPAA's position was before Congress with respect to the viability of the Betamax case and the relationship between the Betamax case and Section 1201?
Well, the Betamax case said that you could time shift for over-the-air free television. That's all it said. What else do you want to know?
Now try and answer my question. Can you repeat the question to the witness?
Do you know what the MPAA position was before Congress with respect to the viability of the Betamax case and the relationship between the Betamax case and Section 1201?
He has answered your question.
Go ahead, sir.
What's the question?
Yeah, what's the question?
Read the question.
Do you know what the MPAA position was before Congress with respect to the viability of the Betamax case and the relationship between the Betamax case and Section 1201?
He's answered your question. Do you have a follow-up?
Is he allowed the witness to answer?
Would you read back his answer, please?
Well, the Betamax case said that you could time shift for over-the-air free television. That's all it said. What else do you want to know?
I asked you whether or not. And I direct your attention to paragraph 3 of section 11, which says, quote, the Betamax case would remain good law even after the enactment of section 1201. Wasn't that the MPA's position before Congress?
Are you asking whether this sentence refreshes his recollection?
As to what the MPA's position was.
What the Betamax case said, according to my lawyers, was that time shifting for over-the-air free television was permissible. It said nothing about cable. It said nothing about encrypted material. And so what Mr. Attaway is saying here, it seems to me, is that Section 1201 does not override the Betamax case.
And what he's saying, the Betamax case would remain good law even after the enactment of Section 1201. You have testified substantively and substantially to that effect to Congress. Isn't that right?
Complex. Compound. All I'm saying, Counselor, is that relying on my lawyer's interpretation, that the Betamax case was narrowly constructed. It only dealt with over-the-air, free television, time-shifting. That's all you could copy. Period.
So you're saying that the entire Betamax case, as I understand it, as you understand it, was good law even after the enactment of Section 1201.
He's testified to his understanding. You're now trying to characterize it and extend it.
Go ahead, sir.
Calls for a legal conclusion.
I think what good law means is that the law is intact. And to the extent that you can time shift for free over-the-air television stations, period.
Did the Betamax case deal with the question of infringement?
Wax Foundation.
To your knowledge?
I don't recall. I don't know.
Did the Betamax deal with the question of copying material off TV and then making duplicate copies of the copies?
Lax Foundation.
I don't recall.
Do you know if the Betamax case talked about the number of infringing copies you can make from material bought in the store or material taken off TVs?
I don't recall. Do
you know anything about what the Betamax case said with respect to infringement?
Other than what he's already testified
right.
I think I've testified that what I believe is the summary of the Betamax case.
Do you know the Sega case?
The what?
SEGA case.
Ambiguous.
Sega against Accolade.
No, I don't know it.
Do you know the cases that any of the cases that follow from the Betamax case?
No.
And to your knowledge, did Mr. Attaway? By the way, did Mr. Attaway also testify before Congress?
From time to time.
And who is the? He is the Washington General Counsel for the MPAA.
Yes.
Is he the senior attorney?
In Washington.
And is there a senior attorney?
I just want to make sure. It is at times difficult to tell whether Mr. Garbus has answered or finished his question.
I'm sorry.
So if you'll pause for a moment,
yeah,
it'll give me an opportunity to interject objections.
Now, do you recall ever having testified before Congress that fair use exception that existed before 1201 is the same as the fair use exception that exists now?
I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
Do you understand that did you testify before the Congress that the DMCA does not change fair use?
I think I did.
And the position of the MPAA is that the DMCA does not change fair use.
The doctrine of fair use is still intact.
In every way.
Well, Counselor, I don't know what every way means.
Is there any way that you can think of that fair use is less intact after the DMCA than it was before?
Cause for a legal conclusion.
I don't know.
Has Mr. Attaway testified? By the way, before Mr. Attaway testifies, do you and he ever discuss what the subject of his testimony will be?
I don't recall.
Have you ever seen any copies of his testimony?
I may have, I may not have.
Now, were you present at any discussions within the MPAA concerning the effect of the DMCA on fair use?
Because of the possibility that such discussions might involve the attorney-client privilege, I'd ask you to answer yes or no to the question.
I don't know.
Now, did you have any discussions
with the heads of any of the studios or anybody at the studios, the plaintiffs in this case, concerning fair use and the effect of the DMCA on fair use?
I'm not aware of any.
Is it fair to say that the MPA was one of the larger lobbying groups in the DMCA issue?
What do you mean by larger? I mean numbers of people?
Dollars, numbers of people?
Oh, no, I would say we're not.
Who were the others?
I have no idea, but we don't have a large staff.
How many people do you have here in Washington?
I have one person that handles Congress, one person, and I have Mr. Attaway.
And how much money does the MPA spend each year on lobbying?
No, I don't know.
What is the total MPA budget?
This year, approximately $25 million worldwide.
Do you know whether there are DECS sites overseas?
I don't know.
Do you know if the MPAA has tried to stop these DECS sites that are overseas?
Would you read back the question, please?
Do you know if the MPAA has tried to stop the DECS sites that are overseas?
I don't know.
Do you know if the MPAA has tried to determine whether there is any hardware presently playing DVDs as a result of DECSS?
Ambiguous.
I don't know.
If you play a DVD on your CSS-equipped player, in other words, an appropriate player, and you use something called Speed Ripper. Have you ever heard of Speed Ripper?
No.
Have you ever heard of something called DOD?
No.
Do you know the names of any devices that can capture the digital signal without the encryption?
Ambiguous.
I don't know.
Has anyone discussed the Steambox case with you?
Ambiguous.
Not to my knowledge.
Do you know who Mr. Schumann is?
Schumann?
Yeah.
What's his first name?
Robert.
He's a great composer. Listen, I love his music.
Not this man. He's an expert witness who has been retained by the MPAA and Proskauer. Do you know him at all?
I do not know him.
Have you ever seen any of his reports?
No.
Do you know whether he prepared a report?
I don't know.
Have you had any conversations with any of the people at the eight major studios about any aspect of this litigation?
About Mr. Schumann?
About this litigation.
About
Mr. Schumann, about any aspect of this litigation?
I don't recall.
Have you had any conversations with anyone at the DVDCCA about Mr. Schumann?
As I said, I don't even know what that is.
And how about Mr. Jacobson? Do you know him?
Jacobson? Who is Mr. Jacobson?
Off the record, excuse me.
You mean my Mr. Jacobson?
Yes.
Oh, sure. I know him, of course.
And to your knowledge, has Mr. Jacobson ever told you that he had ever seen a DVD that had been de-encrypted through DECSS?
Would you read back the question, please? I've asked the question be read back so that I can hear it again. I didn't understand it.
To your knowledge, has Mr. Jacobson ever told you that he had ever seen a DVD that had been de-encrypted by DECSS?
It's possible that the answer to that question could intrude on the attorney-client privilege. So you should answer the question yes or no.
I don't remember.
Now, you said any use of DVD that involves copying is illegal. Is that right?
I think what I said was, anytime you circumvent encryption, according to the DMCA, you're violating the law. That's what I said.
And you're also violating the law, are you not, if you copy DVDs without de-encrypting them?
And it calls for a legal conclusion. It's an incomplete hypothetical.
Do you know how, let's use the term Asian pirates, how they copy DVDs?
What kind of pirates?
Let's say Asian pirates or Hong Kong pirates. Do you know how most DVDs, pirated DVDs, are made?
No, compound.
You know that there are ways to copy DVDs by pirates without breaking the de-encryption code.
Some specs, not in evidence.
I'm not aware of such.
Do you know what the major source of pirated copies come from which process they come?
Copies of?
DVDs.
I don't remember.
Now, with respect to copying movies, you've spoken publicly about the use of camcorders to copy movies. Do you recall that?
An analog form, yes.
And you have indicated in your public statement that that's a major concern of the MPAA. Is that right?
It is a concern, yes.
And do you know how many copies of films, or how many films have been copied through the use of camcorders?
A lot.
And do you know if any of those films have been shown on the internet?
I don't know.
And when you say a lot, what is the basis for that judgment?
The answer is it's a large number, but I don't know the precise number.
Off the record, the time is 10:07:42 seconds. We're back on the record. The time is 10:18:17 seconds.
Mr. Valenti, I'll show you a document marked Exhibit 27.
Yeah.
And it says blind copies to Fritz Attaway, who you previously defined, Simon Barsky, who I know to be a lawyer at the MPAA, and Rich Taylor, who is he?
He is head of our public affairs department.
Brad Hunt.
Brad Hunt is chief technology officer.
And what is his position?
A big question.
And what does he do?
He's a chief technology officer.
And what does he do?
He deals in technology.
In other words, does he, for example, take DVDs and try and see the quality of a film that has been de-encrypted?
Wax Foundation.
I'm not aware of that. No.
Have you ever seen a DIVX? Do you know anything about the quality of a film, a DIVX film?
No.
Do you know anything about the quality of a film that has been de-encrypted through DECSS?
No.
Has anyone ever shown you a film that they have de-encrypted through DECSS?
Asked and answered.
No.
Now, do you know if anyone at the MPAA has made any tests concerning how long it takes to download a DVD and de-encrypt it through DECSS?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you seen any newspaper articles that indicate how long it takes?
I may have, but I remember.
Mr. Gilmore? Now, directing your attention to Exhibit 27.
Okay.
That letter is your letter, and that is your signature at the end?
It is.
And you say with respect to the third paragraph, the movie industry doesn't seek to eliminate the fair use doctrine. Is that correct?
It's correct.
You're asking whether that's what the document says, right?
No, whether that's correct. What you said was correct.
Yes.
And you say that doctrine was constructed to make it easier for research, scholarship, commentary, and similar uses which do not harm the economic interests of copyright owners. Is that right?
The document so states. Are you asking whether he is recalling that statement?
Is that your view?
Today.
Yeah, today.
Yes.
You haven't changed your view?
No.
Okay. Now, in the last paragraph, you talk about the uses of the Linux system.
Yeah.
And, yes. Pardon me. Excuse me?
I said, yes.
And what that paragraph indicates, that those Linux users who have licenses can appropriately play DVDs, and that's not illegal. Is that right?
The document speaks for itself. Are you asking him to agree with your characterization of the paragraph?
Surely.
Yeah. It says what it says.
Right. Well, that's what I said, right?
You're asking now for him to adopt your characterization of it.
Now, in the third paragraph, which is a letter you wrote 3 months ago.
Third paragraph, yes.
You talk about the Betamax case.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in the last paragraph, you talk about Professor Lessig.
Yes.
Do you remember the example he used?
Could I ask, Mr. Valenti, that you slow down? I'm not sure what counsel means by third paragraph, last paragraph. I believe he's referring to the, when saying that, the first paragraph on page 2. I think that's what he meant by the third paragraph. That's the first one that I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, what is Mr. Valenti?
But it is ambiguous. We may have understood each other, but the purpose of the deposition is to create a record so that somebody else can understand it. And that's why I'd like the witness to slow down and allow me to interject my objections.
I think in the last paragraph in page 2.
The paragraph, what Professor Lessig seems to find.
Does that agree with you, Mr. Cooper, if I call it the last paragraph?
It is.
Okay. Yeah. Do you recall the example that Professor Lessig used in the article?
I don't remember.
Well, let me ask, do you recall the article itself, Ms. Caruso's article?
The essence of the article is that Professor Lessig believes that if it's on the Internet, it's free for the taking. I think that's the general belief he has.
And can you tell us who Professor Lessig is?
He was a law professor at Harvard. I think he's now at Stanford.
And do you recall him saying that as a teacher he had the right, or he understood he had the right, to take a piece of a DVD to use it for a lecture in class? Do you recall him saying that in the article?
I don't recall it, no.
Do you agree that a person teaching in a classroom such as Professor Lessig can take 3, 4, 5 minutes of a DVD and play it to his class?
Seems facts not in evidence. It's an incomplete hypothetical.
If you mean can he decrypt it, the answer is no. But he can get a DVD and fast forward to the 3 or 5 minutes he wants to play.
But he can't take it and put it off on something other than the original DVD.
Calls for a legal conclusion.
Is that right, sir?
I go back to my principle. You cannot circumvent an encryption for whatever reason.
So that if a librarian, for example, wants to use 2 to 3 minutes for a lecture, is she required to get a license from the DVD-CCA or the MPAA to use those 2 or 3 minutes?
Simsex, not in evidence, calls for a legal conclusion and lacks foundation. I don't know how we can continue to spend the deposition asking the witness increasingly more convoluted legal scenarios. He is not here to testify as a legal expert.
The answer is, if there's a legal conclusion to be drawn, I don't know.
Now, if a librarian or an academic wants to just use 2 or 3 minutes on some other thing other than a DVD that he bought originally, is there any way he can communicate with either the DVD-CCCA or the MPAA so that arrangements for that can be made?
Unintelligible assumes facts not in evidence, and it calls for speculation.
Counsel, I don't understand what you mean.
If a teacher or a student, let's assume a student wants to write a paper on the Holocaust, and a student wants to use 2 or 3 minutes from Schindler's List, and she can't take the entire DVD and find the place and do that, but rather, as part of her own video presentation, she wants to take 3 minutes from Schindler's List. Is there a way that she can do that?
ambiguous.
By contacting the DVD CCA or the MPAA and getting permission to de-encrypt to use those 3 minutes.
It's compound. He's testified a number of times that he doesn't know what the DVD CCA is. So by importing that into your question, making it compound, I think you make it impossible for the witness to answer the question.
Let's restrict it to the MPAA.
I can't answer the question.
Let's restrict it to the MPAA.
I can't answer the question.
Why not?
Because I don't know what the answer is.
You understand the question.
Hmm?
But do you understand the question?
Not really.
If a student wants to do a term paper, let's say do a video presentation on the Holocaust, do 20 minutes on the Holocaust, and wants to take 2 or 3 minutes from a DVD from Schindler's List to put into that Holocaust presentation, and she has to de-encrypt the DVD to do that, is that illegal?
Asked and answered. It's also calls for a legal conclusion. It's an incomplete hypothetical.
Go ahead, sir.
The student could do that by getting an analog version of Schindler's List, because that's not encrypted.
So that you can do that with an analog version. You can also do that, can you not, with a VCR?
Ambiguous.
Duplication of a movie.
Calls for a legal conclusion.
The answer is I don't. You're getting me into some deep legal water here, and I don't know the answer.
You can also do that. Let's assume that I rent a movie at Blockbuster. If I wanted to rent Schindler's List at Blockbuster, I could do that.
Ambiguous.
Is that right? In other words, the student could do that, take a little chunk of it, and then put it into her term paper.
Ambiguous, incomplete hypothetical, calls for a legal conclusion.
I don't know.
In other words, do you understand then that the ability to copy or take a piece of a DVD is different than taking a piece of something which is analog or taking a piece of, let's say, a VCR
or
a videotape?
Same objections. It's compound. It's an incomplete hypothetical. Calls for a legal conclusion.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't have a legal conclusion to give you.
If you take a VCR... videotape. Can you put that on the internet?
Incomplete hypothetical.
Do you know whether or not,
and it's ambiguous,
you can buy a videotape of a movie and then put that on the internet?
You're asking technologically whether it's possible to do it?
Do you know whether the MPA has ever checked into whether or not you can take a rented movie and put that on the internet?
Ambiguous. You're asking whether it's possible, not whether it's legal.
I don't know.
I presume you don't know whether it's possible or whether it's legal. Is that right?
I don't know to both of them.
Now, do you know whether or not you can take a video that you make, a duplicate, and then put it on the internet?
It's incomplete hypothetical. It's ambiguous. Calls for a legal conclusion.
I don't know.
You don't know whether it's possible or whether or not it's legal. Is that right?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's possible. I don't know whether it's legal.
Now, if a... there's a testimony or there's an affidavit in this case. If an academic writes an article...
Who?
An academic writes an article about de-encryption and how DECS is arrived at. Is such an article permissible?
Would you read?
Or is that a violation of the law?
Would you read back the question, please?
If an academic writes an article about de-encryption and how DECS was arrived at, is such an article permissible or is that a violation of the law?
Calls for a legal conclusion. I also remind the witness, as with all of these questions, that if the only information you have is through attorney-client communications, not to reveal the substance of those communications.
I don't know what the legality is.
Do you know whether... have you tried to determine whether any academic articles are being written now that have the full DECSS in it?
Lacks foundation if you're asking about the MPAA.
I don't know.
Do you know if anybody at the MPAA does knows that?
I don't know.
Have you tried to stop any academic websites that have DECSS on it?
By that mean, you mean the MPAA?
Yes.
I don't know.
Has the MTA contacted any law professors and told them that they cannot refer to any site that links to DECSS?
Just before you answer, I want to make sure that it's clear that to the extent you know an answer to a question like that through a communication with counsel, you should not provide the substantive answer to the question. I don't know.
And if the student takes the DECSS code that he's gotten in a classroom and gives it to someone else who does not download a DVD, is that illegal?
Ambiguous. And calls for a legal conclusion. And it's an incomplete hypothetical.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't know.
And if the student gives it to someone else who does make a DVD through the use of de-encryption, is that DVD made through the use of de-encryption illegal?
Same objections.
I don't know.
When you take a film in a movie house with a camcorder, can you then take that film and put it on the internet?
Would you read back the question, please?
When you take a film in a movie house with a camcorder, can you then take that film and put it on the internet?
Ambiguous, unintelligible. Are you asking whether it's physically possible to
yes.
do it? Lacks foundation.
I don't know.
Do you know whether there have been any instances where people have gone in with camcorders and then taken the material from the camcorder and translated it to the internet?
Ambiguous.
I don't know.
Do you know of instances where movies have been shown on the internet where they have, very shortly after the release of the film and before DVDs or videos of that film were made available to the public?
Would you read back the question, please?
Do you know of any instances where movies have been shown on the internet where they have very shortly after the release of the film and before DVDs or videos of that film have been made available to the public?
Go ahead, sir.
I don't know.
Has any attempt been made to stop the New York Times from posting any linking sites to your knowledge?
Ambiguous.
I don't know.
Have any attempts been made against any universities to stop them from posting DECSS?
Ambiguous.
I don't know.
Do you know anything about how this particular defendant was the defendant arrived at in the New York case?
Unintelligible. Asked and answered to the extent you're asking whether this witness knows how this defendant was selected.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't know.
When, for the first time, did you learn Mr. Goldstein's name?
Sims facts not in evidence.
I think when you named him today.
Now, if you circumvent or decrypt to make fair use, is that MPA policy as being against the law?
To read back the question, please.
If you circumvent or decrypt to make fair use...
Say it again.
If you circumvent or decrypt to make fair use, is that MPA policy as being against the law?
It's compound. Sims facts not in evidence. It's an incomplete hypothetical and calls for a legal conclusion.
Go ahead, sir.
I can't draw a legal conclusion.
Well, does the MPA have a policy that says that any time circumvention or encryption, de-encryption is used, that that is not fair use?
Ambiguous. Calls for a legal conclusion.
I can't draw a legal conclusion.
You don't know the answer to that. So you don't know whether or not there are some proper and appropriate uses of circumvention and encryption.
Ambiguous calls for a legal conclusion.
Go ahead, sir.
I can't draw a legal conclusion.
So you don't know the answer to that.
No, as I said, I'm not a lawyer. I can't just speak it.
Now, did you testify before Congress on the scope of fair use?
Ambiguous.
I may have. I don't recall.
Does the NPA...
Excuse me.
Let me show you the letter previously marked as Exhibit 25. To which your signature
23, 27, 24.
Which one is that?
25. Is that
25?
David O. Carson?
Right.
I think you said you were going to identify them for the record as you referred to them.
It's the March 31, 2000 letter by you to David O. Carson. By you and other people. You are a signatory.
I mean, for the record, there's no signature on the copy that I have.
No signature.
This is the document that was turned over to me by the MPAA. You'd have to ask the MPA if there's any more information.
I don't understand how this... Oh, I see. See, this is not an MPA document. This is a document of all these different companies.
Okay, well, if he has any questions about it, he can ask you.
All right.
I direct your attention to page 2.
Page 2.
The sixth line.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. While the association?
Yes.
All right.
Tell me what the disagreements are.
Talking about the disagreements referred to in the first clause?
Yes, about fair use issues and the proper scope of exceptions to the anti-circumvention provisions. Two separate issues.
I don't know.
Do you know what the MPAA's position is with respect to the proper scope of exceptions to the anti-circumvention provisions?
Revise the question, please.
Can you speak up?
Do you know what the MPAA's position is with respect to the proper scope of exceptions to the anti...
Proper what? Scope of exceptions to the anti-circumvention provision.
Some facts, not in evidence.
I don't know.
Now, you said you never heard... Go to the front of the page.
I never heard of what?
Let's go to the front of the document.
He's changing his question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Have you ever heard... You say you never heard of the DVDCCA, is that right?
His testimony has been in your frequent questions on the subject that he had not heard of it.
And you've never heard of John Hoy, who's the head of the...
John
Hoy, H-O-Y.
No.
Take a look at page 2 of the letter.
Page 2. All right, what line do you want me to look at?
The bottom left. Is the DVD CCA a signatory to the same letter that to your signatory?
The document reflects the DVD Copy Control Association.
Yeah.
Do you know who they are?
I've never met Mr. Hoy, to my knowledge.
And you never heard of Mr. Hoy's name until I mentioned it today?
No.
Have you ever signed, to your knowledge, any other joint documents with Mr. Hoy?
Sims facts, not in evidence.
I don't recall.
To your knowledge, does the MPAA have any ongoing relationship with the DVD CCA, other than to sign joint letters?
Sims facts, not in evidence.
I don't know.
Do you know if there was a meeting in December between representatives of the MPAA and the DVD CCA in December of 1999 in California?
No, I don't recall such a meeting.
Have you looked at any of the depositions in this case?
No.
Have you spoken to Mr. Jacobson before you came to this deposition?
No.
What documents did you read prior to coming into this room to refresh your recollection?
For documents supplied me by my lawyers.
Now, which document was that?
The documents were my testimony of 5 or 6 5 or 6 testimonies that I offered before Congress, public documents.
And was that all?
That's all.
May I have copies of what he saw this morning?
Oh, he didn't say he saw them this morning.
When did you say
the record clear?
When did you say you saw them?
Oh, I saw them last week, I think.
May I have copies of those documents?
I'll take it under advisement.
I have no idea. I can't remember what they were.
All you saw were five or six public statements that you had made?
And as I recall.
Did you see any internal documents of the MPAA?
I don't recall seeing any of those.
Now, let me direct your attention to Exhibit 23, which is your statement of October 28, 1999.
This is October 28, 1999. All
right. And I direct your attention to page 2.
Page 2.
Last paragraph.
Beginning with what?
When piracy flourishes.
Okay.
And if you see in the middle of the paragraph, you say piracy is a $2 billion a year worldwide problem and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me if you have any information about whether one nickel of that piracy loss relates to DECSS?
I don't know.
Has anyone at the MPAA, to your knowledge, determined whether there's been a nickel loss due to, or any loss, a penny loss, due to DECSS?
Ambiguous calls for a legal conclusion, and I admonish the witness not to include any information in his answer that comes from attorney-client communications.
I'm not aware.
Have you ever seen any documents that break down, internal MPA documents, that break down how these loss figures are arrived at, in other words, sources of the loss?
And that's a reference to the loss figures set forth in Exhibit 23?
Yes.
I don't recall.
Doesn't the MPA make a breakdown? Is it your testimony that you don't recall seeing it, or that the MPA doesn't make breakdowns?
Is that the end of your question?
Yeah.
You're asking whether the MPAA has a practice of making breakdowns with respect to this reference.
With respect to piracy losses.
Generally.
This is one of them, but also in general.
I don't recall the format of this at all.
Well, have you ever seen, let's say, an estimate of how much is lost due to camcorders?
That's distinct from other forms of piracy.
Right.
I don't recall.
Has anyone ever told you that they ever learned, do you know what a DVD burner is?
I'm not sure.
Do you have any understanding of it at all?
I heard the term, but I really don't know what it means.
Do you know whether a DVD burner has ever been used to make a pirated copy of a DVD?
Calls for speculation. You're asking the witness now to use a term that he's not familiar with. If you want to give him a definition, he might be able to answer the question you intend.
May I hear the objection?
Called for speculation. You're asking the witness now to use a term that he's not familiar with. If you want to give him a definition, he might be able to answer the question you intend.
Do you use the counsel statement? I would have to give you the definition so that you could answer the question.
Yeah, why don't you give me a definition?
Okay. Now, let's mark his exhibit. Which one? Is it already marked?
Yeah.
As Exhibit 28.
Exhibit 28.
You don't have it yet.
Oh, okay. A letter signed by you to Senator Dianne Feinstein. And I direct your attention.
The witness doesn't have the document yet.
By the way, do you have a computer at home?
Yes.
And do you use search engines?
No.
Do you use linking?
Ambiguous.
No, I don't.
Do you go online?
email.
Do you surf the net, as that expression goes?
No, I read.
So do I. Starting the sentence, just a few keystrokes, if you'll take a look at it.
So where is
the second paragraph?
Are you on?
I'm on the first page, second page. This is the April 14th letter.
I got April 15th letter.
That's the backup. On? Yeah. In other words, April 14th.
Oh, hey, okay, all right.
Well, let's take it slowly.
Page
I want to make
two
sure.
Of the Diana Feinstein letter written by you and others.
But I want to do, Counselor, I know that you would allow me. It's Diane. If you say Diana, I don't think she would like that very much.
I'll say Diane.
And I'd like the witness to take a few moments to read the document, all three pages, so that he can familiarize himself with it.
Read all three pages.
Sir, I have a tape change coming up. This might be a good time to do it.
Okay.
Changing to video, take two. The time is 10:55, 20 seconds. This is the head of videotape two, continuing the deposition of Mr. Jack Valenti. We're on the record. The time is 11 o'clock, 47 seconds.
Going to the statement, starting with just a few keystrokes, on an ordinary household computer will enable people throughout...
Excuse me, where are you reading from? I'm sorry.
The bottom, more or less, of the second paragraph.
Of page two.
Of page two of the exhibit, that is page one.
Just a few keystrokes.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
On an ordinary household computer will enable people throughout the globe to make perfect copies. Have you ever done that?
No.
And when you say, we'll make perfect copies, have you ever seen perfect copies made on a household computer of any materials?
Ambiguous, overbroad.
About persons, yeah. No.
Who gave you the information for that sentence?
Assumes facts, not evidence.
I would assume it's somebody who's technically aware in the MPA, but I don't know who.
And the sentence goes on to say, to make perfect copies, whether the first copy or the thousandth of a copy. Did you make, again, I presume you got that information from someone who is more technically aware, is that right?
Sims facts, not in evidence. Are you asking the witness whether he recalls where that information came from?
Yes.
I'm sure it came from some technical expert, but I don't know.
Do you know if that, technical expert had ever made any copies off a computer?
Calls for speculation. He doesn't even know who it was.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't know.
Do you know if he made 10 copies, 1,000 copies?
That's absurd.
I don't know.
Did anybody tell you they had?
Had what?
Said what? Made copies or perfect copies? From information off a computer?
I don't know.
Okay. And is it your recollection that it was somebody within the MPAA who told you that?
I don't know.
You're now talking about the phrase that you've been quoting from that's contained in the letter?
Yeah. Let's mark as Senate Exhibit 29, something written by Mr. Valenti, allegedly for the Los Angeles Times on January 30th.
Mr. Cooper, with respect to a document that you've given us of October 28, 1999, let me just tell you that we're missing page 3, so if you could make that available to us.
I'll need more information than you've just given me.
Exhibit 23 is the statement by Jack Valenti. It's between your marked pages M6386 and 87. It's a page missing. I direct your attention to the last sentence of the next to last paragraph, beginning with, "The industry's filing of a claim against these internet hackers is the first major test of whether the congressional guard dog has any teeth." Now, we're talking about the DMCA, be this namely being the first enforcement or significant enforcement of the DMCA.
Yes. Yes.
Do you want a break?
That's just fine. Go ahead.
Do you want something more to drink? Something more to drink?
This is fine. Thank you, Counsel.
And tell me the significance. You say the filing of a claim is the first major test. What is the significance of that test? To whom does this case have significance?
Well, I think that if we win this case, it will certainly send a strong message to anybody else just trying to illegally decrypt.
So this will affect or can save the life of the DVD program. Is that right? In other words, it has enormous significance. The DVD business is a multi-million-dollar business, and the winning or losing in this case affects that business. Is that right?
A cause for a conclusion, and it lacks foundation.
Go ahead.
I believe what you're inviting the witness to do is to testify about the effect of the conclusion of this case on the entire DVD business. Is that what you mean to be asking?
Yes.
Lacks foundation.
The
cause for a legal conclusion.
I think this case has to do with whether or not a congressional law is meaningful or not, and whether or not people can get away with circumventing encryption. And that's what the DCSS does. So to that extent, I think it's significant.
And it will affect the entire industry, is that right?
He's answered the question. Are you asking now whether the case outcome will affect the entire industry?
Yes.
I think it's the same question you asked before.
Go ahead, sir.
It will allow us to protect what we own.
Now, are there any other technologies that you know of that are now being researched or studied or put into use that can protect DVDs?
You're talking about research by the MPAA or its member companies?
Yes.
That's a yes or no question.
No, I don't know of any.
Do you know of any entities that are conducting research of any kind?
Do I personally know of any?
Yes.
And research of what kind?
Security.
What do you mean research?
Research relating to encryption codes or ways of securing properties like DVDs or records, music, for the copyright holders.
I'm sure there are a number of companies out there that are doing this kind of research.
Do you know, have you ever heard of CSS2?
CSS2. No.
Do you know whether or not there's not another encryption code ready to go if this one proves to be insufficient?
Ambiguous. Lacks foundation. I think the witness has already testified he's not aware of substitute technology.
I don't know.
Were you told, or was anyone at the MPA told, that the first time DVDs came out, that it was just a matter of time until the encryption code was broken?
Cause for speculation.
I don't recall.
Did anybody tell you that this encryption code was immune from being broken?
I don't recall.
Okay, let's wait until we get... There are documents we've asked to be copied. You can just wait for those documents.
Why don't we go off the record? I have no idea how long ago they went out to, for copying or
let's
when they'll be back.
Off the record, the time is 11:07:30. We're back on the record. The time is 11:25:58.
Okay. Now, Mr. Valente, I'm mindful of your condition, so I'm going to try and keep it short. Can we mark the following documents? And this, I hope, will be the last documents we'll be talking about today. On top, the one. Well, okay, I'll see the numbers. Tell me how you've done with them. Here, I'll look at it. Oh, yeah. 30. I direct your attention to Exhibit 30, second paragraph.
Give the witness an opportunity to review the document.
Now, which one are we looking at? I'm sorry.
30.
I got it right here. Okay. Valente warns dangers.
Yes.
Dangerous.
Yes. Second paragraph.
Second paragraph.
Yeah. Valente told the committee.
Okay.
Second sentence. The 1,000th copy of a digitized movie is as pure as the original. Have you ever seen the 1,000th copy of a digitized movie?
No.
And where do you get that information from?
Get the information from piracy people, from member companies who locate their films on the internet.
These are people that report to you?
Member companies don't report to me.
But the people within the MPA report to
correct.
You. And has anyone ever told you that DECSS or that process was used with respect to any of those films?
By that process, you mean DECSS was used to create any of the post-theatrical release pirated films?
Yes.
Exclude attorney-client communications.
I don't recall.
Now, do you recall when you testified, as is referred to in that document, playing a brief clip from the MGM film Stigmata, and this is referred to in the fourth paragraph?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do you know whether anyone ever told you that that film originally came through the use of DECSS?
Ambiguous. Whether the film Stigmata came through the use of DECSS?
Whether the product that you saw had been on a DVD that had been de-encrypted through DECSS?
I don't remember. Don't recall.
Directing your attention to document number 32. The next to last paragraph.
31.
Do you want him to review the rest of the document to see what it is?
I don't think he needs to, but if he wants to, he should do it.
This is 32.
The next to last paragraph.
Beginning with what? The protection of Americans' creative works.
He's drawing your attention to page 2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
This is 32, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Let's see what
document you have.
Let's see if 31.
Talking about the September 10, 1998 document?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's 31.
That's 31.
So look at 31, the next to last paragraph.
On page 2.
Yes.
But then they also noted threat. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
All right.
Now, you say you've seen pirated copies of films as current as Mulan, Steven Spielberg's landmark epic Saving Private Ryan. Did anyone ever tell you that any of those came from DECSS through the de-encryption of DVDs through DECSS?
Give him a moment, please, to review the paragraph you've now drawn his attention to, and then we'll ask the question be asked. Read back.
I don't recall.
Have you ever been told that any film that you have seen in the last 5 years, pirated or non-pirated, ever came from a DVD that had been de-encrypted through DECSS?
Not
to your knowledge, has anyone at the MPAA ever been told or has ever seen a film, pirated or non-pirated, that it has come from a DVD through DECSS?
I don't recall.
To your knowledge, has anyone at a major studio that comprises the MPAA ever seen a film, pirated or non-pirated, that allegedly came from a DVD that was encrypted through a DECSS?
Lex Foundation.
I don't recall.
To your knowledge, aside from the movie studios, aside from the MPAA, do you know of one person who has ever seen a film that has been de-encrypted from a DVD through DECSS? One person.
Exclude in your answer any information you have from counsel.
I don't recall.
Thank you very much. That's the end of the deposition.
Thank you, Mr. Farber. Appreciate it very much.
Let me, before we go off the record, let me just note that the transcript and video cassette record of this deposition is covered by the protective order in effect in this lawsuit, that we reserve our right to designate any portion of the transcript and video cassette as confidential or highly confidential within the terms of that protective order, and that no portion of the transcript or the video cassette should be released or utilized for any purpose other than in accordance with that until such time as we've had our opportunity to make designations.
Let me just make one thing clear as to whether you're enclosing all depositions, and I want to make sure we understand here that there are many documents we have not gotten from the film studio, many documents we have not gotten from the NCAA. I presume Mr. Cooper has said he's going to give us further documents now. This deposition is also subject to rulings, so if those documents require any further deposition, we shall contact the plaintiff and attempt to do that. And if any of the rulings sought here are in our favor, we shall continue the deposition. And if any documents come in from the other studios, thus far we have not received documents from 6 of the studios. We have not seen the Schumann Report, 7 studios. We have not seen any of the internal documents of the MPAA that led to the Schumann affidavit or any of the affidavits that were filed yesterday. If any of those documents require the continuation of the deposition. We shall try and advise Mr. Cooper as soon as possible.
Yeah, just so the record's clear, I don't believe you're entitled to a great many of those documents. You've insisted on pursuing Mr. Valenti's deposition, despite the fact, as I believe it's plain, that Mr. Valenti was not a necessary witness in this matter. I certainly would oppose any attempt to bring Mr. Valenti back for further needless imposition on his time in order to seek further deposition from him on any point.
Thank you. I think you both stated your position.
Deposition is adjourned or concluded. The time is 11:37:43. Hope you get